morning.
Good morning.
I'm Bob Miller. I think most of you know me. I know most of you. When I came in, Julie asked me, how are you? It took me about 10 minutes to tell her that I haven't been sleeping well. So, the whole old man health issues, you know. So I know it's really common to fall asleep during the sermon, but seldom is it the preacher that does that. And I'm wearing my old bifocals so I can see you and I can see down here, but they don't fit anymore or something. It's your blurry. Just a few announcements. They're written, well, I guess you have bulletins. Sure you do. Man's breakfast Wednesday, 8 a.m. Here. Youth group at 5:30 and Bible study Thursday morning at 10. Does anybody have something else that needs to be announced? Then the Holy Spirit calls us together as the people of God. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us. Walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
With the dark of night.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us praise to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Speaks to us in scripture, reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 8th chapter of Acts. Led by the Spirit, Philip encounters an Ethiopian official who is returning to his African home after having been in Jerusalem to worship. Philip uses their encounter to proclaim the gospel to him. Upon coming to faith in Jesus, he is baptized by Philip. Verse 26. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. And now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both them, Philip and the eunuch, went to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. As he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us read the Psalms 22nd responsibly. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The poor shall be and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise.
May their hearts live forever.
And all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow down before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord,
whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. And they shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted." The second reading is from the fourth chapter of John, 1 John. We love God and others because God first loved us. We cannot say we love God whom we have not seen, while hating fellow Christians whom we regularly see. Love toward God is to be matched by love toward others, because the essence of God is love. Verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to become the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed that love, the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have for him in this, those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to the 15th chapter of John. Glory to you, O Lord. This happened on the very night that Jesus was arrested. So they were at in the upper room for their last meal together, and Jesus was teaching his disciples about the relationship that they would have with him following the next 3 days. He said that those who abide in his word and abide in his love would bear fruit, for apart from him, there was nothing they could do. So they must abide in him, in his love, and in his word. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, O Christ.
As I sat down to begin writing a sermon about these scriptures that we've just heard, I thought back about 54 years ago to my first sermon. I remember a seminary professor gave me some good advice. He said, just don't try to preach about love. I never questioned anything that the professor said, so I didn't ask him, why not? And as I think about it now, I suppose he probably would have told me that love is just too nebulous, too vast to define, too elusive, too mysterious and powerful
to be defined. Love has far too many facets, so that anything you say about it will miss the point. You could preach all day, and your audience would have no better understanding. So preach instead about something that can be pinned down and elucidated. Give them something to send them home feeling a little bit wiser. Maybe that's how he would have answered. And he would have been right. Nothing I could preach about love would make much difference. And yet, as I have experienced love, I know that it makes all the difference. He might as well have told me, don't preach about God. Well, I think my first sermon might have been on the fifth Sunday of Easter. So it was these scriptures. And I think I did try to preach about love. And I'm sure it was terrible. I read these scriptures on that morning that I began, and I felt compelled to attempt to preach about love again. Probably every sermon I've ever preached was delivered in attempt to preach about love. And I'm sure they all missed the point. But I hope they weren't all terrible. You cannot talk about love. And you cannot talk about God, because they are one and the same, and they are both too mysterious to pin down. God is love. Scripture says so. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. So whether people know it or not, everything that Jesus said and everything he did and everything that he was about love. And it was about God. There really isn't anything else to preach about. Anything that isn't about love isn't about God. And if it isn't about God, then it isn't worth preaching. So I've read 1 John, and I've read all the Gospels, and I still don't understand God, and I still don't understand love. And God is still the greatest mystery. One thing I can say is that that's just the way it should be. Because the minute we believe we understand God, so we can talk about God, we make God finite. We put God in a box and close the lid. We close the book and suffocate the living word. So that's why the ancient Hebrews were forbidden to speak the name of God. Because when we name something or someone, we affix our own unspoken expectations. Like parents who name a child Sarah will live with the hope that their daughter will exhibit the faith of the biblical Sarah. Or maybe they hope she will learn and grow into the wisdom that her grandmother, Sarah, had. They will attempt to mold their daughter to meet their expectations. We say God, and we create God in our image, our image. We create God in our own image.
and we think we know what we're talking about. For me to have just said, we know who we are talking about, suggests a who rather than a what. Father God puts into our minds some form of human male created in our image. Referring to God as she doesn't solve the problem. It would be better just to refer to holiness or divinity. Those references suppose something too nebulous, mysterious, and powerful to ever fully understand. Well, John resolved the problem by speaking about love as synonymous with God. We can experience love, though we can't explain it. We can know love's power to feed the hungry, heal wounds, and set free the shackled spirit of the disenfranchised. And we know love's creative power. We know the mystery and miracle by which love creates children in the image of their parents. Could we say, in the beginning, great love created the heavens and the earth? Could we accept that we, each one of us, as well as everything in all creation, people, animals, oceans, mountains, plants and rocks, and all the stars and planets of the distant galaxies in the entire cosmos are created in the image of the great love that we call God? Great love would care no more for one particle of creation than any other. All are equal in the sight of great love. So John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Well, that stretches our responsibility to abide in God's love. To love our neighbor as ourself means to love all of creation. It means seeing rocks and rivers as our sisters and brothers. Well, right here is where I suppose this sermon about love probably starts getting a little hard to understand. So, to abide in God's love is to recognize that nothing stands alone. We cannot love one thing and disregard something else. Because if you remove any one thing from creation, the unity that makes all things one is broken. We know that we can't survive without food. If we eat meat, the animal we eat fed on plants. And the plants were pollinated by bees and hummingbirds and fed on soil and sunlight. The soil fed on decayed matter and was stirred by worms and beetles and caterpillars. The whole mix is dependent on water. And the water, as we know, is eternal. I suppose it would be no less confusing to say that God is the perfect unity that holds everything in balance. So we have to love it all, or we don't love God as we should. If we say, "I love God, but I hate, say, insects, mosquitoes," we're liars. Perfect love has no fear of, say, snakes.
Because perfect love appreciates that everything has its purpose and place. Now, before I lose you completely and you think I've gone completely off the deep end, let me bring this sermon back to the scriptures. Jesus described God as the vine grower who removes the branches that bear no fruit. It's true, even God destroys parts of creation because God loves creation. Indeed, everything has its purpose and place, but if it doesn't serve its purpose, or it takes up the wrong space, it must be removed. But take note of what is said here. The branch that doesn't bear fruit is removed and thrown into the fire. But that's not pruning. Pruning is cutting back the branches that do bear fruit so that they might bear more fruit. Of course, Jesus isn't talking about horticulture. He's talking about God's relationship to us. I suppose typically we hear this scripture about cutting and pruning. We start looking around. Are there any among us who should be removed because they're not bearing fruit? Well, maybe not. We're all pretty good people. But who might bear more fruit if they were pruned back a little bit? Maybe snip off a bit of their arrogance or their self-pity. Make them a little less bossy. Wouldn't that make them bear more fruit? But the better question would be, what within me needs pruning to make me a better person? Something that would give my soul a little more room to fully abide in God. And pruning need not be painful. This cutting back, because the reward is much greater than the sacrifice. We do it because we love God, and we do it because we love ourselves enough to want to become better. It's easy to confuse these two scriptures. What John writes about love in the epistle reading and what Jesus says about pruning in the Gospel of John. The epistle says those who abide in love abide in God and God abides in them. In the gospel, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. That seems to be an odd shift from what he's been talking about, the pruning. Now he says, ask whatever you want in my name, and it will be done for you. I'm sure that doesn't mean that if we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, give me $1 million. It means, if love abides in us, then we abide in Christ, and God's Spirit will bear fruit within us. In love, we can only wish for that which Jesus would endorse. So, the love that is God and abides in Christ is not an emotional love. It's a way of being.
And if we ask for something and it's not something that Christ would endorse, put his name on, agree to that wish or that want, then we're not abiding in Christ's word, and we're not abiding in God, and we're not abiding in love. So may we always be in love with all creation. May we always abide in Christ, and may God always abide in us. Amen. We know that Christ is raised. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. God of all fruitfulness, you abide in your church and your church abides in you. Cleanse us by your word and give yourself to the whole church on earth so that it bears fruit and witnesses to your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have created the heavens and the earth, and we wonder at the beauty of creation. May we seek vital connections among all that depends on the earth for life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You rule the nations with justice and love. Give the leaders of the earth assurance of your abiding presence, that they lead not by fear, but with love, for they are called to serve. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have loved us so that we can love others. We pray for all in need of your love, those who are poor, lowly, outcast, weak, or fearful. Provide for the needs of all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee collectively and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our ministry. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of potential candidates as well. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You gather us with all the saints by the power of your Holy Spirit. With them, may our hearts live forever in your keeping. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting your never-ending goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I was told that you do this passing of the peace in many different ways. Diana and I, more regularly than we'd come to Buffalo, are now attending the Presbyterian Church in Sheridan. And the pastor there has taught the people the sign language for passing the peace, and then somebody that nobody can ever remember. So last time I was there, I wanted to do something kind of with the hands, and so that people didn't have to mingle too much, because at that point everybody was still masked and distanced. So I said that in Nepal and all throughout India and all those nations there, Hindu and Buddhist traditions, people would simply say, Namaste, Namaste. And it means, may the Spirit in me bless and greet the Spirit in you. So I invite you to share the peace of Christ by simply turning to whoever you want and say Namaste, or whatever you want to do or say. God feeds us with the presence of Christ. Holy Communion begins with our giving of ourselves. So in the place of offering, we simply offer a thank you for sending your offerings to the church or giving through online banking. I'm sure that's just how Jesus did it at the Last Supper.
Praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all the creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink. And as he filled the cup, he said, "This is my blood of a new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." So remembering, therefore, his death, his resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food and the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit we all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So come to this banquet of bread and wine, for all is now ready. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you shed light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. God blesses us and sends us in mission to the world. And now may the courage of the early morning's dawning, the strength of the eternal hills, the wide open fields and the silent springs, the beauty of the flowered garden, the love that makes a family and that alone can build the peace of the world, the life that is Christ, the peace of the evening's ending and of the midnight, be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Stand.
Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah. Okay.